Turn your Bibles, Dave, to the book of Psalm chapter 57. Psalm 57. And I want to have us to look this morning at verse number 7. I will mention that this evening in our evening service, I'm planning on preaching a message on the last great battle of the ages. That will be tonight. It'll be a prophetic type message. And I didn't say pathetic, I said prophetic. Y'all got that, didn't you? Psalm 57, and let me single out verse number 7 and read this verse this morning, which will constitute the passage for my message. The psalmist said, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning, and thank you, Lord, for the good music that we've heard, the choir, and then the special songs that were just sung. Heavenly Fathers, I come to thee in prayer today. I pray your blessings, Lord, your hand of healing to be upon the lives of our precious church members that are suffering today because of physical illness. Pray today for Sister Joy that you would give her total recovery and victory over her physical issues that she suffered with. Then I pray today for Brother Homer, dear Lord, for your hand of healing to be upon him. And Lord, help him through his difficult time. And I pray for Sister Misty and Lord, so many others. Thank you for those that are back with us today that have been out in recent days because of illnesses. And so many, Lord, even now that we all know of, have things going on physically in their lives. I do pray for the funeral service tomorrow. I pray for the Knuckles family, for your divine hand of encouragement and comfort to be upon them. Be with, the family, the sisters. I just pray you'll bless Evelyn and Grace, and Lord, comfort their hearts, and Lord, just be with that dear family. We thank you for the Knuckles family. Now, Father, bless the time that we have together in the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. We desperately need to hear from heaven this morning. So, Father, meet needs. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm speaking this morning on the thought or on the subject, settled hearts for unsettling times. No one of us would deny the fact of unsettling times. We don't have to look far to see an example of what we're talking about. These times are very unsettling, to say the very least. I can never remember a time personally that I've ever lived to where there are so many negative elements and issues that are confronting all of us in our lives. These are unsettling times. The song that the congregation sang just a few minutes ago, "Stayed Upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Every joy or triumph falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true." That is a tremendous song. That song speaks of where we are today. That song speaks of the source of comfort that we have in Jesus Christ. We look now at this psalm, the background of it. David fleeing from Saul. David hidden in one of the caves in the Engedi area. And incidentally today, not that it means anything, but I'm wearing a tie this morning, this bright green tie that I have developed color blindness a little bit too. This tie, incidentally, came from that area. Now, it came from the Engedi area, the area there around the Dead Sea. And I happened to run across it because David, when he was fleeing from Saul, must have dropped it. But anyway, I did. I bought this there. But that's beside the point. If y'all want to, at the end of the service, come up and look at it closely, you're welcome to do so. Just kidding. I'll do anything today to get a smile out of people. We need more smiles these days, don't we? Now, okay, let's go back to the text here. In spite of where David was, he was hidden in a cave. In spite of what drove him to that condition in his life, he still had a fixed heart. He still was settled. He still was able to sing and to praise the Lord. Verse 1 bears that out. So in spite of his condition, he still was rejoicing in the Lord. His testimony of trust in God shines when we read Psalm 57. Because of good reasons. First of all, his testimony of God's grace was shining because he had the right resource. Verse number 1. Let's look at a few verses here. He had the right resource. Verse 1 says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast." So, his testimony of trust in God shines because he understood the resource he had. It was in the Lord. Secondly, he was not naive. He knew the threats that he was facing. Verse number 4, he had real threats. Verse 4 says, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire." Fire. Far is how we say it in West Virginia. Fire, really. "Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." He realized the actual threats that he was facing. He received the blessed assurance and the resolve he needed, though, because the verse says, "My heart is fixed." Oh God, my heart is fixed. Then he didn't stop there. He said, "I will sing and give praise." Now that's quite a testimony. Not only was he settled, he was also singing. He was not only settled, but he was rejoicing. Try to imagine that. The circumstances of his life did not impede the joy that he had. Now that's a good message for all of us, isn't it? The circumstances of our life should not impede the joy that God gives his people. That's a good message. That's a good lesson. Not because I'm preaching it, but it's a Bible, you see. It's right there in those verses. This man after God's own heart, and that's who he was, he had a settled heart. He flees from Saul, who hunted him like he was a rabbit, would have killed him. And by the way, David could have killed Saul if he would have so desired. He came upon Saul on an occasion and cut off a portion of his cloak to let Saul know that he had found him. And he could have killed him, but he didn't. Because his theory, his philosophy, his attitude was, "Touch not God's anointed." Saul was still king, and David wasn't about to cross over that line. We sing that song, "I shall not be moved." That's kind of the way he was. "I shall not be moved." The song says, "Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In his love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved." David had that attitude. "I shall not be moved. Regardless of my predicament, my praise, my song, my testimony, My joy survives. That's what we see here. His heart was firm and decided. He didn't waver from his purpose. He wasn't swayed by the events that had occurred. He felt conscious of standing firm in the midst of all of his troubles and confided in God. He did not doubt God's justice. He did not doubt God's goodness. He did not doubt God's mercy. And even in his trials, he was ready to praise Him. He had a resolve to praise the Lord. My friend, we need a resolve to praise the Lord. Sometimes, let me put it like this. Sometimes, we need to do more than moan and groan and complain and frown and talk negative. Sometimes we need to lay all that aside and say, by the grace of God, I'm still alive. God's been good to me, and I'm going to praise Him even in my cave. Many of us from time to time feel like we're in a cave. But the cave should not control us. The cave should not quench our joy. The cave should not take away our happiness. There are people that I know, and I wished it wasn't so. Not meaning to be a poet here. There are people I know, I wish it wasn't so, that it just seems like the very slightest thing knocks them off balance. It doesn't take but just a little bit. And they're down and out singing the blues, blue and despair, mercy on me. They ought to join the hee-haw crowd. Let me make a statement today, and it might be worth even jotting it down, because it's not only true, but it also can help us. Here it is. The focus of our heart is a determining focus. Based upon our focus, we will either be sad, we will be glad, we will be mad, or we will be had. Focus will determine that. Based upon our focus, we'll be sad, glad, mad, or had. It's all about focus. So, we're having to deal with COVID. So, we've all got some issues going on. I get up in the mornings now and I wonder, Lord, what's going to be my next pain? The older I get, I'm discovering pains in areas that I didn't even know existed. But I'll tell you one thing. I live in light of God's goodness, God's love, God's grace, and where I'm going. He didn't put me here to stay. He put me here to prepare. This is a spiritual boot camp of life. People need to spend less time focusing and dwelling upon their problems and more time dwelling and focusing upon God's promises, God's goodness, God's blessing, and what God is doing. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a power far greater than Dr. Fauci. His name is Almighty God. He is the greatest. Our focus will make us sad, mad, glad, or had. Now, go back to this. Focus. What is focus? Focus has to do with riveting attention. Focus has to do with concentration. I'd say we're wise to keep our focus on God and His eternal truths. the material, the earthly, the cares of life are disheartening. Our hearts are not to be focused upon our own power, on our own resources, on our own wisdom, on our own accomplishments. Our security today is not based upon who we are or what we've done. It's based upon who we know. We need to fix our hearts on the one who's the fixer of the heart. The one who in fact gives a new heart to repentant sinners. If David would have known the song, he would have been singing, "Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed." He could have sung it in the cave. He was focused on the character of God. He acknowledged that God was merciful and worthy of exaltation above the heavens. The immovable truths of God's character and power assured David that he had his presence. He had God's presence even in the face of his enemies. He was still safe. He was sheltered in the shadow of God's wings. He wrote Psalm 23. Psalm 23. That says a lot, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he goes to the last part, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This man wrote the psalm and lived the psalm. This man practiced in his life what you and I need to practice in our lives. It's great to read the psalm, but it's better to know the psalmist. And when we know the psalmist, we can still have revival in our cave. We can still have resources in our cave. We can still have a praise and prayer service in our cave. When we really get in touch fully with the significance of knowing the psalm writer and knowing the God of the psalm writer. You know, these are times when men's hearts are failing them because of fear. We, however, can still rest our case in the unmovable truth of God's character and His precious Word that has not changed. The world is changing. Times are changing. Fashions are changing. And people are changing, but God is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can still take that to the bank. I don't care where the times get modernized to the point to where things seem so confusing. This blessed word is still the same. It's still God's word. It still works. It still brings salvation to the heart of a lost sinner. It still brings comfort to the hearts of grieving saints. It still is our boost and our joy. David had a praise. Had a song and praise service inside of a cave. Because he said, there it is. I will sing and give praise. You know, it's easy to sing in church, but not too easy to sing in a cave. He proved it could be done. David's heart was steadfast and unshakable with trust. He was hiding from his enemy in the cave, yet he was aware of a greater security. He proved his unshakable trust, for he vowed to sing a song of victory. We see that. He sang a song of victory. He had more of a greater realization of God's presence than he had of the enemy's power. Now I'm going to tell you what Saul could have done some damage if totally left to himself, but God wasn't going to let Saul take David's life anyway. But Saul had amassed a pretty good army. Saul had some pretty good resources. And the reason why Saul was bent on destroying David was Saul was a jealous man. He was envious. He was jealous, coupled with a lot of pride. And you know, envy, jealousy, and pride will take any person down. That's something perhaps that all of us need to pray about regularly in our prayer life. We ought to pray, Lord, keep me away from envy. Lord, keep me away from jealousy. Lord, don't let me become proudful. Those things will kill you. A person can have all kinds of talents and abilities and can, you know, I've known some Christian workers that have done great things in the name of ministry. Whether it be pastors or whether it be evangelists or whether it be church workers in general, I've known some that no longer were able to be effective for God's glory because they became proud and haughty and lifted up. They became jealous or envious of other people. Blessed is a Christian that can pat someone else on the back when someone else is being blessed and used. Reminds me of a man one time in a former church I pastored. Someone got up and sang a song that this guy had also sung in church. And he scolds the person who sang the song. He said, what are you doing singing my song? That's the attitude I'm talking about today. Everything we do in this church is for God's glory. Every song we sing, whatever. In fact, we don't own the church. We don't have a cornerstone on anything. I mean, it's just like today. Someone else has a right. In fact, I tell people like this. You know, I like to see a lot of visitors. I like to see new people coming in with you all. And I tell the church members, like I'm telling you right now, if some visitor comes in looking for a seat, looking for somewhere to sit, you give them your seat. You move over, let them sit down. In fact, you can prove by that you're able to function in another seat anyway. Some people are known by their pew. We get to the place in church, we say, I don't know what so-and-so's name is, but I know where they sit. And that's okay, I'm glad you found a pew to sit on. But sometimes we need to be reminded that we can sit somewhere else in church and still have a blessing. There are some people in this church, I'd say this was worth, and I'm saying it jokingly, I don't know how, some people I've never seen them except on that particular pew. And that's okay, don't take me wrong. But I'm simply saying today, let's always be thinking about how we can complement the church though. Let's move over. Let someone else sit down. Because it's not all about us. It's all about God's glory. And being a blessing and an encouragement to other people. And David is a type of a person that when Saul turned his enemy, he didn't become David's enemy. It was the other way around. Saul was a proud a person who was envious of David's success. And refused to acknowledge it and look at the end of his life in ministry. What a tragedy, to say the least. You know, coming back to this cave life that some of us find ourselves in, we have two choices. And here's a point I've made many times before and I've preached it many times. I've actually got a sermon just on these two verses. We have basically two choices when it comes to the matter of our fear. Two choices. We can trust Him after our fear, or we can trust Him to avoid fear. Let me give you a couple of good verses. The psalmist said, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in Thee." That's good. Whenever we're afraid, Let's trust in the Lord. But you know, there's something that's better than that. And that's found in another passage of Scripture. Isaiah said, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." That's a higher notch. "I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." We can trust Him when we are afraid, or we can trust Him before we're afraid. You know, the Bible's a wonderful book. His heart was fixed on devotion and duty. Here's a good test. The test is this. How well do we sing when we hurt? How well? How's our song and praise life when we're surrounded by foes and fears? I've said it before, it's easier to sing in church than in a cave. And by the way, it's not just the fact of being able to sing. It's not that. I mean, some people can't carry a note in a bucket, but they still have a song in their heart. Now, what's a song speak about? Song speaks of merriment of soul. It speaks of joy. It has to do with the connotation of joy when the people of God sing. They've got resources in their heart. They got something to sing about. It's not how well we sing, but it's about the one we sing. His heart was singing with praises. Praises. He said, "I'll sing and give praise." Let me put it like this morning. The quality of a song is determined not so much about how well we sing it, but based upon why we sing it. Based upon not how we sing, but why we sing. The point is, I'll sing with praise. So if a person has to just blurt out and they may not make it into the choir, or they may not make it up here for spatial music, but if they love the Lord and sing praises from the heart, cut him loose and let him sing. Now, Brother Jim, I've said all that to say this. Now, when's Singspiration? Next Sunday night. I've said all that to say this. Don't ask me to sing. Actually, I've set myself up to have to say yes now, right? But I'll let this work this one time, but not every time, okay? He knew he was a winner either way. You may be saying today, "I'm too weak, I'm too sick, I'm in a terrible strait." Well, what have I just been saying for the last 30 minutes? Based upon what David did. Just remember this. How many times have you heard this illustration? It takes a sick oyster to make a pearl. It does. You all know that illustration. Grain of sand inside the oyster causes the oyster to secrete a fluid. The oyster's reaction to that foreign matter over the process of time leads to the production of a precious pearl. That's how it works. If that oyster hadn't been sick, that oyster wouldn't have produced a pearl. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when we're sick, God would desire that a pearl be produced. I mean, the test of character is what it takes to stop a person. That's the test of character. You see, anybody can sing when they feel well. Anybody can rejoice when everything's okay. But let the bottom drop out. Find yourself in a cave. Then how's your testimony? Then how's your joy life? Then how's your song? like a river glorious, is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day, perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. That's what we're talking about this morning. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray this morning you will help every person that's heard this message, not because this unworthy preacher preached it, but because of the Bible truths basing what has been said. I pray that every person today will find solace and help and encouragement and joy and victory in spite of all that they're facing. Heavenly Father, today help us to realize that we can rejoice and sing and have a song and praise service inside of a cave. Help us, Heavenly Father, to lift up our hearts, our feeble steps, make straight our paths, rejoice in the Lord, experience victory in our soul, go on our way, showing a Christ-denying, Christ-rejecting world that Christians do have victory. And Christians still can live on the positive side of life. Lord, help people today to get this message. And Lord, to realize you didn't save a single one of us for defeat, but for victory. And the circumstances of our life are in no way meant by a holy God to rob us of our victory. Father, bless this invitation. There could be some folks today that just need to visit this altar and just get on their knees and faces and say, Lord, help me to live in light of my issues of life. Help me to show a victorious Christ to other people. Help me, Lord, to do less moaning and groaning and complaining and focus upon myself and focus upon how good God's been to me. Lord, I believe there's people today in this church that just need to come to this altar and pray that prayer. Lord, if we took a vote today, not a soul in this service would vote to discontinue this altar. So we believe in the altar, so why don't we use it? So Lord, today, bless this altar call. Bless this invitation. I know it's easy to say I can make my decision on the pew, but that's a pious statement. And help people to know that. Sometimes when we go forward an invitation, we're showing the church, I'm humbling down before God. I want people to pray for me. I need God's touch. I need God's hand upon my life. And I'm bringing this to an altar, and I'm going to trust God to help me with it. So, Father, bless now for those that could be here or out there that have never trusted the Savior as their own, that have never been born again. May they call upon him right now. Dear God, help us to live in victory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.